You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of January. A winter storm is finally coming. Oh, that's probably not what you guys care about. But you do care about the Utah Jazz, and Rudy Gobert is finally coming back. We'll talk about Rudy's impact on the roster, how the Jazz will play. Look at our opponent, the Knicks, tonight on a late-night Friday night game. And then a little All-Star talk, plus we will Evan Fournier finally and Pack Friday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. It's kind of funny. I have changed my, totally changed my routine, but I'm doing 30 minutes of yoga and 10 minutes of meditation. I know, like, total, yeah, give it to me. Every morning when I wake up, and I was actually wondering, hey, I wonder if it's like mellowing me out before I do the show and like somehow the show sounds different. I don't think so. The backstory, well, let me first tell you that if you do not know, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. We try to give you a little extra insight and expertise, some geeky numbers, a lot of geeky numbers today, a little peek behind the curtains of how the Jazz work and what's going on with the franchise. And thank you very much for tuning in. I don't know why I'm onto this topic. The backstory on it is that, a few things. One is I've done a bunch of reading on kind of what the most successful people do. And one of the things they all kind of do is have 30 minutes to themselves every morning. And then if I have kind of decided that yoga is at 47 years old, probably the best thing for me to do, not always the most enjoyable, but just stretching and maintaining and feel like I can be strong enough to still get my skiing in, particularly if I get a second workout some point during the day. So done that. And then I just added the meditation because it was one of these things I read all along that everyone seems to do. There's a bunch, if you're interested, one thing that the most successful people, I read all summer about this kind of stuff, the most successful people do a few things. One is they spend 30 minutes to themselves every morning. Two, I think this is great, they write down the purpose of their day. It might be really simple and silly, but or sometimes I find it, you know, today I wrote down, execute the best broadcast I can execute, get second recreation in, and then I have one Locked On Podcast Network work thing that has to get done. So that was like the purpose of the day. Like it's not, sometimes it's a to-do list, sometimes it's a, all right, we got to get off this topic. I don't know how we're here. Anyway, so there's a bunch of things. And so I'm trying to execute them and see if it works. There we go. Woj just dropped a Woj bomb just this very second that Kemba Walker is being made available in trade talks. What that is they don't want to max out Kemba. I'm not sure I blame them on that. This is the first sign of how tight money is getting in the league. We had that big spike. Everybody went bananas. Now money is tight. Now, on the other end, if you're Orlando, because we're going to talk about Evan Fournier, and Kemba Walker's available, I give away an awful lot to go get Kemba Walker. Right? You don't have a point guard. Alfred Payton's been a mess. You have nothing going for your franchise. You work from there. Kemba's interesting. I mean, this is to our conversation, ongoing conversation of like what matches with Donovan. Kemba's pretty fabulous. Does Kemba match? I mean, Kemba's just good. So probably would seem to. You become very Portland Trailblazer, though. And that hasn't worked yet. Maybe because they don't have a good defensive center, which we get back today. But that story just came out today. And my point on this is the first story of many coming. And really what they all are about is how tight the money is. That is simply Charlotte looking at their books and realizing, wow, if we pay Kemba 30 plus, what are we doing? And that's going to be the biggest storyline in this league here for some time. Jazz get Rudy Gobert is listed as probable, which leads me to believe Rudy Gobert's been back, and having seen all the work that Rudy's been doing behind the scenes and some of it visible to everybody, I would suspect that he plays tonight. First thing I don't know is, does he start? The second thing I don't know is what the rotation, how Quinn Snyder does the rotation. Are we still playing Favors and Gobert together, or is that day over? Have we moved past that? We've been doing everything all year long with two smalls, or with a small four. Tabo's hurt. We used Ingles for some of those minutes the other night. Is that what we want? The defensive rating for the Utah Jazz with Rudy Gobert on the floor and no Favors and no Udo is a 100.3 this year. It's elite. And what's too bad is with the Tabo injury is I do think Rudy, Tabo, and Jonas, the Jazz could have made a little run. I think the Jazz go on a little run and make a run for the playoffs, because if you take Joe Johnson out of that mix, the defensive rating gets down to a 98.3 and the net rating gets to be a 9.2. So when Gobert had come, when Gobert came back, I did think that the Jazz with Tabo healthy would have been able to make a run for the playoffs, and that you suddenly see the team as with the spread for trying to figure it out. When Favors is in with that same, even taking Joe Johnson out, the defensive rating is a 108.4. 10 points worse, it's plus 1.8. It's a considerably enormous difference to have of what the impact of having Rudy back is. And so I thought that was a run that we could make. Now, I don't know if we can do the same with Ingles playing the Cephalosha minutes, and then you're playing Royce O'Neal's getting a bunch of time, and Neto gets some time, and you use Mitchell, Hood, and O'Neal and Ingles for some of those minutes, and you spread out, and you push Ingles to the four a little bit, and use those minutes in that fashion. We'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know actually what's going to happen tonight. Does Rudy come off the bench for a game? And then I don't know what happens after that. Pretty ballsy move by Quinn if he doesn't start both Favors and Gobert, but it does feel like that's kind of where we're heading, that we're not playing the two bigs together anymore. Maybe it's just because they've been injured so much. Maybe I'm making this up completely in my head. I don't know. I guess we'll all find out together. But it's huge to get Rudy back. I mean, All-Star, voting for the, I'm looking at the All-Stars, you know, Cousins makes the starters, which is, yeah, whatever. I mean, come on. Really? Who, do people not get the game? I mean, all right, so New Orleans a year ago, right? New Orleans a year ago wins 34 games there. Let's go. New Orleans a year ago has all these injuries. Anthony Davis misses these games. And to start the year, they go and they start the year terribly. And then they play 500 ball the rest of the way, right? They were 10 under 500 and they finished about 14 under 500. I mean, I think they started the year 1-10, something like that. So now Cousins has made them a 500 team. We're going to make him an All-Star? When Cousins is on the floor by himself without Anthony Davis, they're like minus 5. When Anthony Davis is on the floor by himself, they're plus 9. And we're going to call DeMarcus Cousins an All-Star? Really? Don't see it. I see 25 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 turnovers. I see two steals, two blocks. I'm not doubting the talent level. But then Andrew Wiggins should be an all-star. If DeMarcus Cousins is an all-star, then Andrew Wiggins should be an all-star. Because it means you're not interested at all on the impact the player has on winning and losing and their teammates. That's truly what that means. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, back to Gobert for a second, but the shot selection, and we talked about the three-point shooting. It'll be interesting to see the shot selection of the opponents, where they shoot from against the Jazz when Gobert does not play compared to when he does is really telling. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Jazz can cut off the rim shots again and how they play differently with Gobert dropping on the pick and roll rather than playing up. The opponents are take 33% of their shots in the restricted area when Rudy is off on sorry, that was our offensive numbers. I was like, that's backwards. We take 33% of our shots in the restricted area when Rudy's on the floor and 29% when he's off offensively. Now, the opponents do the exact opposite. 33% of their shots in the restricted area when Rudy's off the floor, 28% when he's on. They shoot 65% at the rim when he's off the floor and 59% when he's on the floor. So 6% difference. Pretty awesome to have Rudy back. I know there is a storm coming, but that does not mean you should not slow the flow. Slow the flow, people. That is right. We are going to slow the flow in Utah. The slow the use of water. We are going to be water, WER All-Stars, Water Efficiency Rating All-Stars. Because what are we going to do? We are going to stop taking tubs. A full tub uses 70 gallons of water. If you take a 5-minute shower, it uses 12 to 25. If you take your 5-minute shower down to 3, you've cut it even further. And that's how and when you become a WER All-Star. Installing a low-flow toilet will save you 0.3 gallons per flush, which doesn't sound like a lot, but flushes do add up. Slowtheflow.org has other opportunities for you to slow the flow. Save H2O. There's a lot of things we can do to save water. I mean, that's 1-minute shower, you'd save over 1,800 gallons of water a year. And really, in all seriousness, this is important. Slowtheflow.org. Slow the flow. Save H2O. All right, this week there's been a lot of conversation about Evan Fournier. Not with anything from the Jazz, just fans. Right? That's fine. It's great. But let's just make sure you don't think, like, radio voice of the team says, no. None of that. Don't know if he's even available. Do know that Orlando has some money issues. Have read reports that he's supposedly available. And every single city in town has the article going right now of, you know, should they make an Evan Fournier deal? Locked On Magic actually has Evan Fournier talking about the fact that he doesn't want to be traded. That he likes Orlando. But let's back up to who he is for a second. He's 25 years old. He is a pretty darn good NBA shooting guard. He is at the beginning of a 4-year, $68 million contract, I believe. In the middle of it. So I think it comes out that he has 2 years, $34 million left. So 17 a year with a $17 million option for the 2021 season. 2020-21 season. 2020-21? You got what I'm saying. He averages 18 points a game and doesn't do a lot else. Limited rebounder, not a huge passer. Good scorer, 46%. Good shooter, 39%. Driver. Don't necessarily think of him as a great ball handler. I have to look into that. I probably haven't seen enough of him. Is he a secondary ball handler for your group? That's not something when I think of him, that comes to my mind. In Orlando this year, on the pick and roll, he has run all very, very little. So Peyton's run 640, Simmons run 630, Augustine 600, Max run 4. He's run 286. He's good at it when he runs it. He and Vukovic have been good. He and Biombo have been bad. But he's run very little pick and roll. Okay, so that's probably not, you know, the way we run some stuff. He probably doesn't play into that. The last year he ran a little bit more, but still not a lot. He was their third most common pick and roll guy. Same concept. Very good with Vukovic and Ibaka when he was there on the pick and pop. Not very good with Biombo. Pure pick and roll. Okay? So Rudy plays into that a little bit. He's French and knows Rudy very, very well. If that matters. Either positively or negatively. I don't know. Like, you don't want teams clicked up. He has had a little bit of injury history where he played 58 games one year and 68 last year. Career 38% shooter, 45% overall. If you look at his shooting zones, he's a better rim finisher this year than he has been in the past. At 64%, and he does shoot a pretty high amount of his shots at the rim, 21%. Little disconcerting is over the last 4 years, he's gone from 34% of his shots at the rim to 30% of his shots at the rim to 28% of his shots at the rim to 21% of his shots at the rim. While his three-point rate has not increased, he's gone from 44% of his shots as threes, 39, 42, 39, 39. So what has increased is the little mid-range floater stuff. It's a pretty bad shot. He's not terrible at it. He's actually pretty good for league average. He's at about 41, 42% on that. And he's having an unusually good year on long twos this year, which have inflated his numbers. He's a career 37% shooter on mid-range twos, but he's making 54% this year, which is just not a viable possibility, right? Like, a sustainable possibility. His usage rate's been pretty consistent, about 23%. He turns it over at the same rate. He does not block shots. He gets a few steals, but not many. His assist rate has actually increased the last few 2 years, and he's a very limited rebounder. He has played predominantly at the small forward. At 6'7 is the small forward for Evan Fournier. Now, originally the 20th pick came over in the Aaron Aflalo trade. Using my metrics on PAC, so this tells me whether he's, you know, what type of efficient offensive player he is. I want positive PAC players. His shot distribution is pretty darn good, and his pack is positive 0.8. So 32% of his possessions are threes. He turns it over about 8%. He goes to the free throw line, 8% of his possessions. So limited, a little more than Hood, but not a lot. You'd have two. If you have him and Hood together, you have two pretty heavy wing shooting non-free throw guys. What part of this discussion has to be is, honestly, you probably what the Jazz have to decide a little bit. Do you like Evan Fournier more than Rodney Hood? A little bit. Not entirely. It's not an either or, but it's there's a worthwhile discussion here, actually. Just hear me out on this, and I'm not trying to. Is Fournier really better than Hood? I don't know that answer. Is Fournier at $17 million better than Hood at whatever Hood's going to get this offseason? It's not necessarily that you have to have only, that you can't have both of them. There's probably some scenarios where you can't have both of them. But, and frankly, maybe you can't because maybe Hood's the piece that, I haven't even thought about that. Like, what would it take? Maybe Hood's the piece in which Orlando has to have. But is Fournier with a set number, you know it's at $17 million, you build your roster now for the next 2, maybe 3 years, depending what he does with his opt-out, with him at $17 million. That's a pretty good number for him as a player. That's a good, that's not a bad contract. So that's pretty appealing to me, is that I know what number I'm getting him at. And I don't have to go try to play free agency and somebody goes and offers Hoodie $22 million, which I don't think is going to happen, but maybe. And then I got to figure out what I'm doing with that and I end up with nothing. We've seen how ending up with nothing doesn't work very well. It's hard. There's just, you know, there's not, if you're not, if you don't get the Nantucket cookies, you go get the Oreos instead, you're still pretty happy. The NBA, the shelf gets bare pretty fast. Last year, Fournier's pack was a 0.1. So right on even. And the year prior in 15-16, his, I just pulled up Oklahoma instead of Orlando, sorry. His pack was a 1.2. That's really interesting. So what was it? What jumped? He hit 40% of his threes, and then last year he hit 36%, might be that simple. And it's a nice player. His pack is noticeably better than Rodney's. Not watching him every night, I have no idea if he's more consistent. So if it is an either or, that's one thing. The negative I would say on Fournier, and I don't know if I don't have, I'm not good with like his defensive ratings have never been good, but I don't know what that means. He is long. He's not an elite athlete. He's not Trevor Ariza, long athlete in Trevor Ariza's prime. He's not, trying to think of who's a good, another good kind of wing, defensive minded, but right. So that's not who he is. It's, you know, he's picked 20th for a reason. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't have a, like, oh, I have to go get him. I like him. I've always liked him. I like 5 threes a game. I like 8 threes a game better. And I can't quite understand where Orlando's going and what they're trying to do, quite honestly. That might be the issue more so than anything else. What are you doing this weekend? Because on Saturday, Murdoch Hyundai's 1.99% deal with Golden West Credit Union is scheduled to expire. Right now, you can go down to Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, and you can get 1.99% financing courtesy of Golden West Credit Union. Plus, you get the Murdoch guarantee of no regrets, which is lifetime oil changes, car washes, 5-day price match guarantee, 5-day return price match guarantee, all of it. And the Hyundai, which I have just been so impressed by. Whether it's the 2018 Hyundai Sonata that's out there, I have driven the Santa Fe and loved it. The Santa Fe Sport I was blown away by it. Absolutely blown away. I drove the Ioniq Hybrid for a while, which is their version of the Prius, another just really high quality, impressive, interesting car. And there are 5 of them still available. If you're looking for a hybrid, 2017s are actually priced in about, I think, under about 27, somewhere under 25. So pretty good numbers there for you. And the Santa Fe has all the bells and whistles. When they first met me, they were telling me the story about Robbie Bosco looking at the Lexus and then buying the Santa Fe. I thought they were nuts until I drove the Santa Fe, and then I completely got it. It's over at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Make sure you enjoy that and check it out. 1.99% financing going on through Saturday. All right, Pack Friday. And I'll kind of put an all-star tint on this in the Western Conference. So the number one Pack player in the NBA right now is Steph Curry. He's just having a much better year than people are aware of. Harden is 2, LeBron is 3, Anthony Davis is 4. Boy, has he been great. And then had a stinker the other night, just right in the realm of what we've talked about with him. Kevin Durant, 5. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 6. Karl Anthony Towns, 7. Clint Capella, 8. Does Clint Capella deserve to be mentioned in the All-Stars? Maybe mention, probably not make it. Nikola Mirotic continues to play as well as he's played. He is at 8. DeAndre Jordan at 9. Lou Williams at 10. When you look at the All-Star, you got Steph Harden, Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. Westbrook is a guaranteed. Jimmy Butler is a guarantee. Karl Anthony Towns is a guarantee. LaMarcus Aldridge is a guarantee in my mind. Okay, so those are the four that have to make it. So they have 9. Those are 9 of your 12. 3 more players have to make the All-Star team. Or that's the rules. They are, of this group, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Eric Gordon, Paul George, Damian Lillard, Lou Williams. I think that's it. 6 guys, 3 spots. I think Lou Williams has to make the All-Star team. 1.9 Pack. I mean, he's always been a great Pack player, but he's carrying that team. 23 points a game. It's been great. Did Lou Williams make... Who does Lou Williams make it over, though? Does Oklahoma City really deserve 2 All-Stars? Paul George deserve that All-Star spot? Probably does. Probably gets it over Lou Williams. But I can make a legitimate argument that Lou Williams is doing more for the Clippers than Paul George is doing for Oklahoma City. Klay Thompson has pretty much got to be on the team. So I put Klay Thompson on. I just put him in as a guarantee. Does Draymond have to be on the team? Probably. So Draymond's now in as a guarantee. Now we're down to Damian Lillard, Lou Williams, Paul George, Eric Gordon. Chris Paul. Left out CP3. Tough. 12-man team? Is that right? I think so. It is as loaded as everyone said. I think I would go Lou Williams over Paul George. I think I would do Chris Paul over Damian Lillard. And then I have Lou Williams or Chris Paul. It's my last spot. CP3 or Paul George? I don't know. It is hard. All right, back to Pack. Oladipo, Steven Adams, Kevin Love, Enes Kanter, Klay Thompson, Jason Tatum, Rudy Gobert. The offensive pickup we should get. Mike Scott, Gerald Green. By the way, Pack is formed out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in the 2s, 4 guys in the 3, and 1 guy over in Steph Curry. Steph Curry's at 4.9 Pack. Harden, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant are all 3-plus Pack. And then Antetokounmpo, Karl Anthony Towns, Clint Capella, Nikolai Mirotic, DeAndre Jordan are the only guys with 2 Pack. The worst offensive players in the NBA so far this season in actual games played. Lonzo Ball, but much better at minus 2.8. Dennis Smith. This also tells you how incredible Donovan's doing. Josh Jackson at minus 2.2. Russell Westbrook is at minus 2.2. We're just automatically putting him in the All-Star game. Like, there's probably a legitimate argument he's not an All-Star this year, but that would be too much to handle. Marcus Smart minus 2.2. Chris Dunn minus 2.1. De'Aaron Fox minus 2. Deion Waiters minus 2. It's why Miami's better without him. Andrew Wiggins minus 1.9. Russell Westbrook is an all-star. Andrew Wiggins is not, because Andrew Wiggins doesn't help his team win. Andrew Wiggins shoots 43%. Russell Westbrook shoots 43%. Andrew Wiggins shoots 32% from three. Russell Westbrook shoots 31% from three. Wiggins is 62% from the free throw line. Russell is 71%. The difference between these two players is that Russell Westbrook uses 24 scoring opportunities a night, and Andrew Wiggins scores 17. They're both equally inefficient. Points per, I think this is points per scoring opportunity. It might be points per possession, which would include turnovers, but I don't think so. Russell Westbrook's 0.86. Andrew Wiggins, 0.92. That might include turnovers. Right? What's the difference? Yeah, that does include turnovers. So that's going to hurt. But what's the difference? Points per scoring opportunity. Andrew Wiggins, 1.0. Russell Westbrook, 1.02. League average is 1.11. Just put a thought there. Let's go last 10 games. Who's the hottest? Who are the hottest players in the leagues? Oh, I haven't sorted this yet. I always do this last. I sort this while I'm talking to you, because it's fun. Steph is on fire. Oh my gosh, 8.7 pack. Kevin Durant, 5.0 pack. Lou Williams, 4.2. J.J. Redick, 3.9. Gary Harris is hot in Denver, 3.6. DeAndre Jordan, 3.2. Jimmy Butler, 3.2. Darren Collison is on fire in Indiana, 3.1. They lost last night to Portland, though. Karl Anthony Towns, 3.1. Bradley Beal, 2.9. Dwight Powell on fire, 2.7. Dwight Powell's a subtly good player. Nobody talks about him, but in Dallas, probably getting lost in the mix. He's a subtly good player. Kelly Oubre, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Damian Lillard, all also hot right now. Anthony Davis. Manu Ginobili is actually playing pretty darn well. I love that. And Marvin Williams in Charlotte. All right, who are the coldest players in the NBA? Then we'll look at our Utah Jazz. Avery Bradley, minus 3.7. Aaron Gordon, minus 3.2. Caris LeVert, Jonathan Simmons. Jarian Grant in Chicago. Zach Randolph, Jordan Clarkson really struggling. Kristaps Porzingis, who we'll see tonight. Oh, we never got into the Knicks. Juwan Evans, Marcus Smart, Ricky Rubio, Andrew Wiggins, and Rodney Hood are the coldest players in the NBA. Everybody wants to know about Donovan, so let's look at Donovan last 10 games. He's not shooting the three as well, so it'll be interesting to see. Plus 1.5. That is great. Favors plus 0.9. Udo plus 0.6. Jonas 0.2. O'Neal minus 0.2. Ingles minus 0.2. Tabo minus 0.4. Joe Johnson minus 0.8. Alec Burks minus 1.8. Rodney minus 2.3. Rubio minus 2.4. And for the season, I wonder if Donovan's gotten to average yet. Donovan started the year. He was Lonzo Ball, Dennis Smith, worst player in the league. And he is now at even for the year. Incredible. Great. Just every indication's real there still. Rubio, Gobert 1.5. Favors 0.8. Ingles 0.5. Cephalosha 0.5. Boy, that's a big injury. Jerebko 0.5, Neto 0.2, Udo 0.1, Donovan's even, O'Neal minus 0.2, Alec minus 0.5, Rodney minus 0.6, Joe Johnson minus 1.1, and Rubio minus 1.3. So there is your Jazz pack. I'm running a little short on time, but I know I had a few questions come in. I answered the Fournier question. I got Austin Anderson keeps wanting to acquire Jordan Clarkson. I just listed him as like one of the worst players in the league offensively. By the way, might as well just give you this because a bunch of people are asking. Kemba Walker. What is Kemba Walker's pack? Is he in a high volume, average, above average? Kemba Walker is even this year at minus, so he's a minus 0.1 pack player. Don't always be wowed by 22 points a game. He does go to line 11%. Last year, he had an even better year. Kemba's small, by the way. So defensively, you got to figure out what you're doing with him. Offensively, he wants the ball in his hands all the time. Last year, Kemba was a positive 0.7, which was his best year. It was great. And the year prior, positive 0.7 out of point guard is pretty good. You know, it's easier to be high efficiency if you're dunking. The year prior, Kemba was a positive 0.5. So he's off a little bit this year, is really what you're seeing. Minus 0.1. The biggest difference, Kemba was shooting 35% from three this year. Last year, he was at 39, 40%. The year prior, he was at 37%. So that's where that comes from. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you Monday. Games Friday and Saturday postcast here for you. There's the Utah Jazz Radio Podcast if you want the coaches show, the play-by-play, and the rest. Have a great weekend. Thanks very much to Slow the Flow and Murdoch Hyundai for sponsoring today's program.